All right, now turn in your Bible, please, to Job 26. Now, I am very conscious of the time. I got 16 minutes to preach before you all start squirming. I know that at 12 o'clock noon, everybody starts squirming. At 9:37 in the morning, everybody starts squirming. And at 7:30, everybody starts squirming. So I will give you the thought, and trust that the Lord will speak to your heart, and I might revisit the sermon sometime down the road. But look, please, if you will, at chapter 26 in the book of Job. And in the 12th verse, there is a statement. Now, I prepared the sermon for this morning and the sermon for tonight before we left on the trip. And the reason I did is because I've done these trips before. And when you come back, you do not feel like preparing sermons. And you can't stay awake long enough. I tried to do a crossword puzzle on the airplane, and I got one word. I got one answer, and then I just kept staring at it for hours on end and could not concentrate, could not think. And so I prepared both of these sermons on the Thursday and Friday, or the Monday and Tuesday before we left. And I was reading the book of Job, and this is an answer that was given by Job to his three friends. They were questioning as to why God was dealing with Job in the way that he was dealing with him. And Job answers in the 26th chapter. Basically, it is an answer to Bildad, who was a pretty sharp cookie himself. But in the 12th verse, he said this. He, speaking of God, he divideth the sea with his power. Now, when I read that verse, I stopped, and I don't know why it hit me, but I do know why it hit me, so I'd share it with you. But a thought hit me, and the more I thought on it, the more alive it became. And notice here that Job says that he, God, divideth the sea with his power. Now, what did he divide the sea with? The land. He divided the sea with the land. And I thought about that. And so a thought came to mind, and I'm going to call this little sermonette tonight, Don't Interrupt Me. Don't interrupt me, John. Don't interrupt me. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, bless the word to our hearts. And Lord, I realize that the time is gone tonight, but there's something here in a few minutes that we can get. So Lord, help me to say it and help our folks to get it. Lord, what a great statement was made by Job. And Lord, help us to get something here tonight that will change our lives and help us to see how you work and how you deal in our lives through a different set of lenses. Father, bless the word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Chinese were the first to come to the realization that every person on the planet has a unique set of fingerprints. They they say that there are not two people on the planet who have the exact fingerprints. The word for finger in Mandarin is, when it translates into English, is chop. Thus, chopsticks. And everybody's chops are different. Now, our government figured that out and started fingerprinting people. And that's how a lot of crimes are solved, because fingerprints are gathered. It's the same way with everybody's face. Every face is different from everybody else's face in the world. There are a lot of people that look alike, but nonetheless, everybody's face is different. So while all of us are alike in many ways, and I speak generically, of course, we are all different from one another. Each one of us, God has uniquely made each one of us so that we are our own individual person. And that started me to think that there is also something unique and peculiar in the way God handles and deals with all of us. God does not deal with all of us in the same way. We're all unique. Every human soul is dealt with differently by God Almighty. Now listen very carefully to this. There is some mark of grace upon your life given by God that is totally unique and no one else has it. That's amazing, isn't it? God has His specific dealings with us as individuals. There are certain things that we go through under His guiding hand that are different than what everybody else goes through. Let me give you some for instances. For instance, some period of great blessing or encouragement. And we've all had those. And we say, wow, boy, you know, God sure has been good to me. And we get blessed by that. We can think of something that God uniquely has done, and we see something uniquely that God has done in our individual lives. Or maybe a time when we, as an individual, are asked to learn patience, and so some tribulation is sent our way. And it's unique to how God wanted somebody else to learn patience. Or maybe when we start to wander away from the Lord, God's rod of chastisement is applied. And the way God chastises you might be completely different from the way God chastises me or somebody else. And God seems to divide us from everybody else. He seems to interrupt us from everybody else. And He deals in our hearts to where we know that it is the hand of the Lord at work in our lives. And I want to speak on the times and the areas where God seems to divide us from everyone else. The text here says that God divided the sea with His power. And I want to speak to you tonight for a few minutes on how God sometimes interrupts our lives. Nobody likes interruption, do they? We don't like interruption in our lives. But the simple truth of the matter is, God sometimes steps in and interrupts our lives. There is, for instance, the interruption of the night. You see, when the sun goes down in the western sky and it gets dark outside, a few hours after the sun goes down, we find ourselves tired and in need of sleep. And every day, our toil, our labor, and our activity is interrupted by sleep. Happens every day. Then sometimes our lives are interrupted by suffering. I can't explain why we sometimes get sick and why we sometimes have to stop our activity. We have to lay aside our job for a little while. We have to give up our efforts. We have to have some surgery maybe, or take some medicine and rest in order to get better. And so many times we have the heart to work and to go on with life, but the body just won't let us. And we find our schedules and our plans and our jobs and everything is just interrupted by sickness. And then, of course, we know that eventually we're all going to one day be interrupted by the grave. That's in our future unless the Lord returns. Most of the time, our lives are interrupted by the grave while we are in the midst of doing our best work. And I don't think there's a better illustration of that than our own dear brother Larry. Brother Larry shows us that even the fullest and brightest of lives can be interrupted by the hand of God calling us home. Now, it is upon this matter of interruption that happens in our lives that I want to give you something to think about. It has impacted our church. Every week, our church is impacted by God's interruptions in our lives. I say it again, folks, God never looks down from the battlements of heaven and sees us and goes, well, what do you know? Look at there. No, he's in complete control of everything that happens. It has impacted me with the discovery of Crohn's disease. That's caused an interruption in my life. And I want to speak to you tonight about how our lives can get interrupted and how we ought to handle it. Let me just have you think, first of all, generally, about the interruption of death. You know, out of all of God's creation, only man has to deal with this interruption. The angels don't have to worry about death. When I say man, I mean all of us on this side of the grave. The angels of heaven, they don't deal with this interruption. The seraphim and the cherubim, or even the redeemed who are already in heaven, they don't deal with this interruption. You see, only the Bible speaks to us about what awaits man after death. That's the only source where you're going to find anything at all about the afterlife. There is no other source that reveals to us what awaits us beyond the grave. And it's amazing what the Bible reveals when God lifts the veil throughout the scripture and allows us to have a little glimpse into eternity. And in those glimpses, what do we see? Well, we see that whatever you are in eternity, as you go into eternity, is what you will always be in eternity. And here's the blessed part, the blessed part. When you leave here and go to heaven, you're done with the interruptions. Amen. Would you let that hit you? Yes. Folks, we deal with interruptions. Rick texted me over in the Philippines and said, Brother Doug's having surgery. Please pray for him. And I already knew he was going to have the surgery, but his text reminded me, and I prayed for Doug. I promise you, Doug Norwood would like to be sitting right over there. But he's got a little interruption in his life. I'll guarantee you, Larry Stainer would like to be sitting right there. He wasn't done yet. But he got interrupted. And I could stand here tonight and point around this room and tell you, yeah, she'd still like to be here. He'd still like to be here. Yeah. But we get interrupted. But folks, the good news is the interruptions are just for here. Because you get over in the Bible and you start reading about heaven, and what do you read? There's no sickness in heaven. There's no death in heaven. You're not going to turn a corner and see a heaven general hospital. You will not see an ambulance on the streets of gold. There are no interruptions up there. Oh, by the way, you won't have to sleep when you get up there. You know, there are a lot of people, and listen, if you can lay your head down at night and go to sleep and sleep until morning, thank God for it. Because there's a lot of people who don't. But you won't have to worry about it when you get up to heaven. The interruptions are going to be over with. And I'm telling you, folks, when you think about that, you realize just how blessed you are to be a child of God. We have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. You say, well, how's all that possible? Look at that. With His power. When you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the power of salvation. God's power saves your soul. You can't get saved in your own power. It's the power of God that brings salvation. And that same power has prepared a place where there will be no interruptions. Folks, the interruptions are for here. Now, we don't like to be interrupted. When we're speaking, we don't like somebody to interrupt us. We get angry when they do. Did you just cut me off? You don't want me to speak? And we get, tempers will flare. We don't like interruptions. We're going about our life, and all of a sudden, we get sick. We don't like that. We don't like to have to stop. Life is full of interruptions. I don't know about you. I don't like to go to bed at night. I don't like it. I have to, especially the older I get. But when I was a 20-something year old, a 30-something year old, I didn't go, 40-something year old. I stayed up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. You can get a lot done late at night when everybody's in bed. Many of the sermons that I still preach today in conferences were sermons that were put together in the midnight hour. I can't do that anymore. I'm already thinking about how good it's going to be to go to bed tonight and go to sleep. But folks, the interruptions are just for here. And I want you to think about that and realize just how wonderful heaven's going to be. You'll not see a graveyard in heaven, because the Word of God tells us there shall be no more death. But then if you're lost and you die in a lost condition, the same principle applies. What you are when you go into eternity is what you will be throughout eternity. Do you realize that that rich man in Luke 16 is still in torment? He's still crying for just a drop of water. Just a little drop. That wouldn't do very much, would it? But that's all he wants. You say, why is he just asking for a drop? Because he knows he can't have any. It's like your kid comes in and says, Mom, can I have a cookie? No, it'll spoil your dinner. Can I just have half? No, it'll spoil your dinner. Mom, I'm starving. Can I just have a quarter of a cookie? No, Mom, just a crumb. Just a crumb. Just give me a crumb. I used to be mean and say, all right, here's a crumb here. Dad. So what you are when you go into eternity is what you will be throughout eternity. My friend, realize that the Lord has made a way to solve our interruptions. You know why we have interruptions? It's called sin. Sin interrupted the whole plan. Adam and Eve were fine until sin entered the picture. And that's why God sent his only begotten Son, because sin interrupted God's plan. And the Savior fixes it. What a wonderful God we serve.